Good morning. You have tuned in to the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio, and I'm Lonesome Jack here without a co-host on a Thursday morning, Thursday, February 22nd, and a chilly one at that. Not to worry, we do have Mike Bauer here from the Sandpoint, the East Bonner County Library, that is, pardon me, who's going to be talking about some of the lifelong learning projects that's going on out there, as well as an update on that ongoing construction at the library. So stay tuned, but first let's talk about the weather a little bit. It is a chilly one out there, currently 18 degrees Fahrenheit, but it feels like about 4 degrees if you're walking down to the radio station this morning. It is, we've got a wind chill bringing it down to about 4, if you believe in the wind chill. Currently, wind is north-northeast, 15 miles an hour with gusts up to 20 miles an hour. Today, mostly cloudy with a high near 28. The north wind is going to continue throughout the day. There may be a little bit of snow this morning and less likely as the day goes on. Tonight, partly cloudy, then patchy fog, low down to about 5 degrees, but pretty clear, a few clouds, mostly clear and cold. 5 degrees is the high. Tomorrow, chance of snow and patchy fog, and then as the day turns into evening, expect some snow. 90% chance of snow tomorrow, not a great deal of accumulation, but something coming out of the sky, most likely tomorrow evening or afternoon. Snow is likely to continue into Saturday morning and then decrease in likelihood as the day goes on. The high on Saturday is about 35 degrees, and there's a slight chance of snow on Saturday night. Snow again on Sunday, an 80% chance of snow on Sunday with a high near 36 degrees, and some snow on Sunday night forecast as well. 30% chance of snow on Monday, and the highs, though, starting on Saturday and continuing as far as the forecast goes well into next week, the highs are going to be in the mid-30s. So at least not quite as bitterly cold as it has been these past few days. That's all I got. Did I mention my name is Jack? Yes. And did I mention that Mike Bauer is here from the library? Yes. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, Jack.
I don't have anything else to say about the weather. But it's cold out there.
It is. It is. But it's it got up to 20 anyway.
At least that.
It wasn't 9 like the other day.
Right. Yes, it's not as bad. I mean, it's not the worst that we've seen in the last few days, but it's still not warm. I'm ready for those 30-degree temperatures.
Me too. Me too.
Mm-hmm. Mike, you're here to talk about the library.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're doing a few things over there.
You are you're the lifelong learning coordinator at the Sandpoint Library, which means mostly you interact with who?
Oh, 50 students now.
Yeah.
And 36 tutors. So we are banging in the Lifelong Learning Center, and that's our 3 tutoring rooms. We've got 2 more under construction, so I will soon have 5, and I need all of them.
Wow.
So some good things are happening. Lots and lots of good things are happening out.
36 tutors. Like, how often are the tutors there?
Usually about an hour a week. I've got one that has 5 students, so she's there 5-6 hours a week. And so, but we don't require a whole lot of time from tutors, but they're people. It really indicates how much brain power and experience we have here in Sandpoint, because collectively, they're amazing people.
Yeah. Teaching, like, what kind of classes can you get tutored in?
We say 5 through 99, mostly K through 12, as you can imagine, math, and the battle between Common Core, and that's kind of a challenge as well, because some of our tutors are a little older, and we do math a different way, and so, but they hit the algebra 6th grade, 7th grade, and they find that they're having difficulty, and we find that their fundamentals are, they just missed them along the way, maybe 4th, 5th grade or so. So we go back, and then they do, our success rate is excellent with those students. We have some adult literacy students, and also some English as a second language students, people that have immigrated from overseas and teaching them English. And we recently have actually one of our Spanish students decided that she wanted to teach Spanish and become a tutor as well. So that was just last week. And
cool.
So we've got a couple of, we do need one Spanish student at this point. So, you know, you can give us a call and you can be tutored in Spanish.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the transition from the student becomes the teacher. Mm-hmm. I was gonna ask about that. If anyone ever, yeah, if you ever see people coming back as teachers rather than just students, and apparently you do.
You know, we have a young man who is now I think in the eighth grade, and he kind of slipped through the cracks. He was put into a remedial English class just through testing, and you can imagine how that happens. You have a bad day, and you end up, you know, having your academic life changed. And he was tutored for about a year or so, and he got to the point where you're up to speed. Mm-hmm. And why don't you become a tutor? You know, that can cement what he's learned by turning around and teaching it and sharing it with somebody else. And he does. He tutors a young girl. Yeah. in reading and helping them to enjoy reading. And that's the love of reading is really a lot of what we're about too.
Yeah. So is most of your job like coordinating the tutoring and the students who need tutors?
Yeah, that's about 3/4 of my job, and yeah, the other 25% is adult programs.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a couple coming up and yeah, some projects that are not only adult programs, but we're really working with intergenerational types of projects. We want to involve everybody again from kindergarten through 99 and have them mix and mingle together and have that mentoring take place.
So what's the first thing on the horizon? What's the next thing coming up?
We have a media literacy workshop coming up. Fake news.
Yeah.
But we're calling it media literacy. We want folks to be able to become media literate news consumers.
Mm-hmm.
And that is simply telling the difference between what's true and what's not true.
Yeah.
And how to do that, how to recognize information before it's being shared, because, you know, social media and the internet, it's really proliferating. Fake news has been around since King Henry II, mm-hmm, and where newspapers or printers came out with information that was, you know, like he was ill, for example, and that was back in the 1600s, and that was not true, but it affected the monarchy.
Yeah.
1903, there was a newspaper, they had a rival newspaper. The newspaper knew that the rival newspaper was pilfering their articles. So they wrote an article about a guy by the name of Mike Sneakafew, and he was involved in a shooting in a mine, but his last name backwards was We Fake News. That was 1903. So an interesting story. And War of the Worlds is another example.
Yeah,
where it was a newscast, but it wasn't true, caused some hysteria among listeners.
Yeah.
So it's been around for a long time. It's just different now.
Right. Well, it's somewhat, anybody with a computer could create what looks like a legitimate news, you know, just make it up off the top of your head, but you can look just like, you know, the New York Times, the Bonner County Daily Beat.
Exactly.
You can mimic it. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you can't, I mean, I, how do you determine what's real and what's fake?
We'll come to our media literacy workshop on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. at the Heartwood Center. And that'll be our first session. There's 3 sessions. But the first one is recognizing fake news and before you share it and knowing that, you know, how it works and, you know, what to look for. You know, emotional language, the source, all confirmation bias we'll talk about, which is, you know, it's all interesting. And show up. It's a free program. No registration required, just show up at 6 p.m. and we'll give you some coffee and we'll have good discussion. It's supposed to be a casual discussion, a very short presentation by Cameron Rasmussen of The Reader.
Yeah.
And The Reader is sponsoring all 3 of those, the entire workshop, so we thank them for that. But he'll be there as a resource person to kind of describe how they vet some of that information before it goes into their paper.
Yeah.
And so people can understand how media works, how local media works, as well as mass media, corporate mass media, understanding all of that.
Hmm. Give me those dates again, dates and location.
Okay, it's February 28th, Wednesday, 6 p.m., and we'll have one the fourth Wednesday of the month for February, March, and April.
Okay.
And so just look for that. We'll have posters around town, and you can call the library at 263-6930 and ask for more information.
That's a super neat idea you had there, Mike, or somebody had.
Libraries are doing it all the way across the country, and they're doing it in the casual discussion format. Mm-hmm. They call it Science Cafe, but this isn't really science, but it's a roundtable. And it's meant to be not a dry presentation, but people discussing what their experiences are and learning and listening and mm-hmm. getting people to talk. That's a real push in my program, is just getting people within the community to talk, whether it's opposing viewpoints or whatever else. Our climate change program was very successful in that way, so that we, have discussions that everybody is enlightened at the end of it.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that most people maybe don't think about the library for. I mean, my main interaction with the library is when I go there and rent a book, and then when I sheepishly go back and return it a week late.
Yeah, we're much more than a book.
Yeah.
We're really one of the leading libraries in the state. You know, we were one of the first libraries to have internet access, actually, way, way back whenever, in the mid-90s.
Wow.
And so, yeah, we plugged into a T1 line, and we were, able to have that information available to people through that venue.
Mm-hmm.
And adult programs and teen programs as well. There's another one I'd like to mention, but across the board, we want people to come in the library, and we want programs to take place and learning to take place through a number of different media.
Yeah.
And that's one delivery method.
I'd like to, you're probably not the representative of the library to talk to about it, but it'd be good I'd like to talk to a librarian who's been there for say 20 years to see it. Cause I can't imagine how much that profession has changed with the internet. I mean, it used to be no one had access to the information but the librarian. If mm-hmm. you want a particular book on a particular subject, you go to the reference desk and you talk to the librarian. Now you go to the internet,
right?
Or you
right.
can.
Yeah, you
so,
can.
Yeah.
And there, the information there, that just goes into our workshop. The information there can be, there's amazing stuff on there. The earth is flat. Mm-hmm. Things like that. And people are sharing that information. And
that's coming back. The flat earth thing. That's making a comeback.
And water is not wet, That's out there too.
anyway. Yes. Hey, you're listening to 88.5 KRFY, and we're talking to Mike Bauer, the lifelong learning coordinator from the East Bonner County Library. And the media literacy program is the fourth Thursday or the fourth Wednesday
mm-hmm.
of each month, February, March, and April. And it sounds pretty good. What else is going on at the library these days?
Our outreach program is in full swing again. Lynn is just amazing. And what she does is she actually goes into homes, and for people that are shut in, maybe they're elderly, maybe they broke their leg and they can't get to the library. So they can call the library and they can get a book, order a book or whatever, and she'll hand deliver that book to, or whatever media, to that individual. So she drives around and does that. That's a little known program that we do, and we've done it for a number of years. And it's in full swing. We wanted to mention that.
Yeah. Well, that's you've done it for a number of years. Has it always been going on, or is it's picking up again?
Yeah, it's picking up. Yeah, there's more and more. And we have that, because of construction and that, some of the services have had to be a little bit cut back. And so, I want to thank the patrons that have come in the last week or so. They're putting carpet in the main library now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can imagine the chaos, the organized chaos in the library. And I just wanted to thank our patrons for being very patient with our construction process. We're kind of in the end of things, about 3 months or so. We're thinking 1st of June will be all complete and the thing will be a shining gem. And that's what we keep telling ourselves. So everybody is showing a lot of patience. Staff has been great. And the page, everything's being moved around, and even some of the parts of the collection just can't be available right now. So things like that are a little bit trying. And thank you to all the patrons for their patience.
Yeah.
Patrons for their patience.
I want to ask you more about how that construction project has been going on. But about the outreach program, is that something that just one person handles? Do you need... Is there a volunteer opportunity there or anything like that?
No, I think it's just all Lynn,
Wow.
She does that, and she's amazing. There's some really good stories about how she served people and the stories those patrons will tell about her exemplary service. And, she goes out of her way to serve those folks.
Yeah. So if you're shut in or can't get to the library for a physical reason, I guess it sounds like, you can just you call you guys up and say, I want this book, something like that.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And she'll bring it out to you.
You bet.
Very nice.
Yep.
And let's talk more about construction if there's anything more to say. But first, how about a musical break? And I have the song from 50 years ago, the number one hit on the American charts from 50 years ago today, from 40 years ago today, from 30 years ago today, and from 25 years ago today.
How about that? Walk which, through time.
Which musical one? Time. Which one do you want to hear?
Let's start way, way back.
Okay. The artist is Paul Mauriat, and the song Love is Blue. Now, wait, that can't be right. Paul Mauriat, I'm sorry. Did I say that wrong? Paul, I'm gonna look this up. Okay. Mike, you talk about something.
All right, stretch. Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah.
And well, our transition update, that's what we're calling our transition update. So we're hoping that by the end of May, everything will be done. We will have a large meeting room that's about 1,300 square feet and two others that'll be available for the public to use free of charge. Everything we do is free. And so we'll be able to do larger programs.
Yeah.
And one of those rooms is actually going to be dedicated to STEM projects. For
oh, really? You know,
science technology types of projects for especially for teens, that's going to be really exciting as well.
Let's put a pin in that and listen to Love is Blue by Paul Mauriat, which was indeed, I shouldn't have second guessed myself. I knew it. It didn't seem right because it's an instrumental track, but it was at number one for 5 weeks in 1968. Including on this date. So, Paul Mauriat with Love is Blue. I hope you enjoy it, because I know we'll be listening here in the studio with curious ears.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource.
I know that song. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show. My name is Jack. Lonesome Jack, without a co-host this morning, but Mike Bauer is in the house from the East Bonner County Library. He's the lifelong learning coordinator. That was Paul Mauriat with Love is Blue.
That was so calming.
It was.
You know, that's for later at night, you know, with a cup of tea and... off to snooze land.
Yeah. I'm sure that I second-guessed myself. I thought I had put the wrong song in the rotation or something like that. But no, I was right. Yeah. 50 years ago, that was at number one. I'm sure that Jerry from the 60s show is listening at home and screaming at his radio just at my hesitance to put that on the air. Number one hit. Who knew?
Yeah.
That's great. Let's talk about, we kind of touched on the construction project, but for those who aren't aware, it's been the dominant fact of life at the library and a major event here in town for many months now. Yeah. When did it start? And you say we're 3 months from the end.
I think it was July 25th of last year. Uh-huh. So it's been interesting until then or since then. We'd like to thank the community. We had some money for that project, but we have raised a lot of money through local grants, but a lot of individual contributions, and people have stepped up and put money in the jar. And I'd love to thank everybody in this community for making this thing happen.
Mm-hmm. Who's in charge of putting up the posters that are around keeping people or saying sorry for our mess and
Oh, yeah, that's Marcy Timblin. That's our public relations.
She's done a great
specialist,
job.
And you know, she's got a sense of humor that's
she does.
Awesome and keeps people, keeps it light. You know, our petting zoo is closed right now. For example.
Yes.
And somebody came up, I think it was our coffee bar is closed or something. And somebody came up to me and said, "You guys had a coffee bar?" I was like, no.
Yes. The signs are hilarious and they lift your spirits when you're a little blue about the library not being, at full peak functionality, but you've done a great job. Mm-hmm. I mean, every time I've been in, it's been, I've had no problem finding my way around and finding my way through the construction. The meeting rooms being closed, I know, has had a major impact on a bunch of groups in town. A lot of people, maybe without even realizing it, were heavily reliant on the library for meeting in those rooms on the east side of the building, and those are closed down. People are scrambling.
Yeah, that's right. They've had to meet outside, and we created a list for folks to be able to go out and like some free venues or inexpensive venues. The Ruby Motel up in Ponderay has a little meeting room, and they say reserve it and it's free.
I've been to a meeting there.
Have you?
Yeah. Only because the library was closed, but I have been to a meeting there. Okay. And it was great. You're right. It was splendid.
So again, the community has stepped up. And,
right.
You know, Heartwood Center is very inexpensive for us, and they've just been terrific, and it'll be a great program there as well. It's a beautiful facility.
Yeah. The meeting rooms themselves, are they're you're hoping open in June, or when do they? Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing we hope will be open June 1st or so, and that'll be our ribbon cutting somewhere in there. That we'll have the public out, and we'll have a big wing ding, and people can see the shining result of everything that's happened the last 9 months or so.
Is there a plan in place for that? Are you guys talking about what's going to happen for the big party?
Yeah, it's, you know, again, Marcy is working on that, and it is, we are generating that. The date is one of the things that it gets pushed back. You know, that's construction. That's what happens. Things happen. They find different things that, you know, that they have to do. They'll take more time. And, you know, the concrete didn't dry fast enough in the floor when they poured it, you know, because of all this wet weather. And, you know, it's just, you can't anticipate that kind of thing. So that's kind of what's happened. But you know, the construction folks have been great. It can be a real challenge to do construction in a library, as you can imagine, and they've been really, really good about it, you know, keeping the noise down and everything else. So it's been going great.
Yeah. You guys have not, you haven't, or did you close down for a little while? Yes. No.
Nope.
No, never.
We had a plan, but we just don't know if we can stay open. We'll stay open. And,
yeah.
And we've been able to.
You never had to close down even, and even with all the goings on the east side there.
Right, right.
Wow.
Right.
It's impressive. And it's, it looks pretty cool from the outside. I hope that. Have you been able to take a peek in there?
Oh yeah. We had the volunteers come in, and we had a little volunteer party, and that was the first time I saw it, and it looks big now.
Yeah.
It'll be filled with books, and it'll be smaller, but I mean the expansion is on the order of 25% of the old space. That's the expansion, and we will have a fireplace. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
It's all right.
Really nice. It'll be off kind of in the corner where folks read magazines now is kind of the entrance to my office, and you can imagine all the traffic that comes through there. So we're going to move it to that east side on the second floor and put some comfy chairs in there and a fireplace, and folks can kick back and read magazines. And that's a very popular activity at the library.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, that's very cool. Let's put this wintry weather behind us. I would love that's. I'm very excited for that. I like the idea of a fireplace up there. But putting aside this wintry weather, you are working on a garden come springtime.
That's right.
Yeah. This spring, will it be? I mean, or is it waiting till next with the construction?
Oh no! It's going to be. Actually, we'll probably have our grand opening and then a work day the following week.
Ah.
And people have really stepped up. We're going to have a lot of people out there. The Panhandle Health District, WIC, National WIC program, had some money last fall, and one of our volunteers bumped into somebody else, and all of a sudden we had a grant and for a garden, and then it became this ambitious project. We've been spending all winter planning for that particular project, and we have come up with a master plan thanks to a local landscape designer. So we've got views of what the garden will look like, and so all of our wish list and all of our dreams are down on paper at this point, and we're ready to put a shovel in the ground at some point pretty soon.
And this will be a vegetable garden or a flower garden? Or
I think the library outside. And that's pretty much what we'll have: children's programs, theme gardens that are tied to literary science, of course, hopefully a greenhouse eventually, a pavilion, a meeting pavilion. So we'll have a little bit of a lawn area and a covered pavilion so that we can do presentations or, you know, instrument petting zoos and things like that right out in the garden. We did a lot last year out of Traverse Park because of the construction, and we really liked that. The patrons really liked being outside as long as they were undercover. But those programs were very popular just because they were outside, and the kids love being outside. And so just kind of think about the garden. We'll have vegetable gardens, of course, and tying food to, you know, kids to their food source, and cooking programs that'll come out of that, and, you know, take something home. You know, it's, the ideas go on and on.
Cool. This, and then it ties in some way, I imagine, with the seed library that the library does.
We're excited. We can do our workshops right out in the garden now.
Yeah.
We used to, well, the old house there, we would roll up the door in the garage and spread out a table because it's kind of a messy workshop. Well, you're threshing seed and that sort of thing. And so it's kind of messy, but we'll be able to mark plants for seeding, and people will be able to see how they evolve and how the seeds will mature and how to harvest the seeds, how to prepare the seeds for storage. All that can be adjacent to the library. We've had to have those workshops off site. And, you know, a little bit further from the library and that sort of thing, but we can integrate it into the seed library. We can tour the seed library as part of that workshop. And so we think that'll really help the seed library going forward. They'll be a big part of it.
And that's something the seed library we've talked at length about on previous editions of this, of the morning show. So we don't have to cover it in detail, but for someone who's never heard of a seed library, how does that work?
It's like a library, with seed, right? So you get seed, and then you return it.
Yeah.
It's not the same seed, of course.
No.
Because you got to plant it. But the idea is that people will grow a certain number of plants, and they'll indicate a couple of plants for seed production, and be able to take that in. And we'll sort all the seed out into envelopes and label it and everything like that. And then we put it back into it. So it's in an old index card file.
Yeah.
And so the seed packets fit perfectly in there. And so folks can come in and they can pick up seed, and we want them to return seed as well, just like a book.
Yes. Has it, and it mostly is self-sustaining. You don't have people walking away with seed and not returning it. Some,
there's a little bit of work to be done there. Seed saving is not particularly easy to do. I mean, it's, you know, there's just ways to do. The different plants have different processes, and we'll just keep doing the workshops until people, you know, find that it's easier than they think it is, and we'll start to return some of that seed, and so that other folks can use it the following year.
Yeah.
So we hope that will get to be a bigger part of it.
It's such a cool idea. I mean, you pick up seed in the spring and return it in the fall.
That's right.
Yeah. It's just different seed.
And the thing about it is it's heirloom seed. Mm-hmm. And so it's not hybrid seed. Hybrid seed, if you save the seed from hybrid seed, it's going to become this Frankenstein. It's not going to, you know, carry those characteristics. Heirloom seed is open pollinated. So it's the same year after year as you save the seed. But if you take those better plants and save the seed from the better plants, we can have genetic mutations as we go along that are specific to this climate. And so you might get a tomato that starts out as an open pollinated tomato from a university years and years ago, and grow it and save the seed over and over and over again in North Idaho, and it slowly acclimates to North Idaho. You may have more frost tolerance, tolerance of the cooler nights that we have. and things like that. So there's, you know, and we is to keep a seed bank, you know, that of something that is a stable seed source for our region. And that's really a big national movement.
Wow. That's very cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, and yes, and it does come in. It's not just strictly fun or for pleasure, recreation, and or whatever. That's
the sustainability and community resilience. It's a part of that
absolutely
whole concept.
Wow. Well, that's the garden sounds like it's going to be pretty neat.
I'm excited about it. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm the coordinator of it. We got to put a fence up. Mm-hmm. We got to put the garden, the vegetable beds in as part of the grant. Mm-hmm. We're looking for money to put the fence up at this point. And it's going to be a beautiful fence. It's going to be a beautiful garden. It mm-hmm. needs to be, yeah, it needs to be really pretty, and it will be. There'll be a native plant garden. In the front, I believe, and we did get a grant from the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society through their Lois Wythe grant. Mm-hmm. So we were able to get some money, buy some plants, and we'll put some native plants out, label those, do some workshops on native plants for landscaping. So taking some of our local native plants and put them in your landscape. What could be lower maintenance or better for the environment than a native plant? That's pretty, that you can put in your landscape.
Yeah. You're listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. We're talking with Mike Bauer, from the Lifelong Learning Coordinator from the East Bonner County Library, who is also apparently their lead horticulturalist. And how is your green thumb, Mike, by the way?
It is. Well, I have, 25, 30 years in the horticulture industry, as well as being an educator. Mm-hmm. And so it was amazing that this project came and kind of dropped in my lap.
Yeah.
You know, here we are again. Oh, these are kinds of, putting in a garden like this has been a career goal of mine.
Cool.
And so after I moved on from my last job, I came into here and thinking, you know, I would do some education, some good work that way. But here is this project that has the capability to just extend information to the community, but it's all different facets. And, you know, again, a literary connection, science, all kinds of different things. That'll be part of it.
We're going to take a little musical break again. What are you, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, or 25?
40.
40. Yeah. Keep going. Through the sands of time, we will continue our march. I'm going to play something by the Bee Gees called Stayin' Alive, which was at number one on the American charts on this date in 1978. We'll be back to talk with Mike Bauer about, you got the gala event coming up on the 14th, and mm-hmm. we can mention the media literacy thing again. Mm-hmm. There's more to talk about as well. We'll be right back. Here's the Bee Gees with Stayin' Alive.
Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of The Morning Show, but feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting krfy.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show.
From Saturday Night Fever, that's the Bee Gees with Stayin' Alive, which was at number one on the American charts on this date in 1978, 40 years ago today. We got a call from the usual Thursday co-host right as the song was getting started, who called in Mr. Jim Healy from San Francisco. The dog has been taken out. It is sunny, and it is in the 50s, which is still not warm, but...
we'll take it.
Yeah, I would take a little little bit of that weather up here right now. I've had plenty of this winter.
Yeah.
The problem was that it got warm for like a minute, for like a day. And if it hadn't done that, then I would have been fine.
It was real teaser.
Right.
It really was.
But once it hit once, then I said, oh... yeah, I'm ready for this.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you know, you don't know what you're missing till it's gone.
You get it.
Yeah, whatever.
There's a couple songs like that.
Hey, my name is Jack. I'm here all by myself, but Jim will be back next weekend. He is listening in San Francisco because you can take KRFY with you wherever you go. go to www.krfy.org, and you can stream us live anywhere where you have an internet connection. We're in the studio with Mike Bauer from the Lifelong Learning Coordinator at the East Bonner County Library. And there's a couple big events we haven't even talked about yet, which include in less than 1 month, on March 17th, which is only about 3 weeks away, the writers' contest is coming up. 3.5 weeks away, whatever. There's a writers' contest coming up. Tell us about that and who you're partnered with to put that on.
Right, we work with the Idaho Writers League Sandpoint chapter. Idaho Writers League, of course, is statewide program, and we've got a really good group of local writers, many of which have been published, and we worked with them this year to provide their spring writers contest. They bring brunch in as a potluck, so there's something to eat there as well, and authors of all ages can come in, do a 5-minute read of their material, and together they can vote on all those presentations, and they end up with the best one, and there's some small but fabulous prizes involved. And it'll go from 9:30 to noon on Saturday the 17th at the Hartwood Center again.
Mm-hmm. There you are again at the Hartwood Center. Is this the first time you've been involved in this, the writers' contest?
Yeah, they did it last year, and I attended, and I said, well, the library needs to help you with this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a great program, but we just need to be partners with local authors. That's kind of a big push of what the library is, to support them. We have several excerpts of their books on our website that you can just read portions of their books, and they can post those for free. And people can link to the catalog entry, so if they want to check out that book. But anyway, we like to support local authors. We have a couple programs a year, and this is the one that we really wanted to get involved in this year. And it should be fun. They're going to do the presentation. They are very capable people. We're kind of behind the scenes and just, okay, great. Mm-hmm. We'll help you do this, and it'll be a great program. So we're really encouraging young folks. I was at Forest Byrd Charter High School yesterday and did an announcement and asked how many of the kids were writers, and there were really a couple dozen out of the maybe 150 students that were, you know, in front of me. And we would love to have the younger writers come in and just, you know, put their work out there. The critique isn't serious, is not, you know, it's mm-hmm. very constructive, and it is a very fun event anyway. And it's a really good opportunity for a fledgling author to read their material and just see what the response is. And it can be poetry, it can mm-hmm. be short story, it can be fiction, it can be nonfiction, whatever. And it doesn't have to be a book.
Yeah.
It can just be, you know, the start of a chapter and go, okay, well, what's this idea like? And how does it sound when it's read aloud? And what kind of response do I get from fellow writers?
Yeah. You take 5 minutes, you get 5 minutes on in front of the microphone, and
that's usually the challenge.
Yeah.
You know, and we usually have one of the members of the Idaho Writers League keep time,
uh-huh.
and we will keep time.
Right.
So, and we want to mention that so that folks are prepared and maybe rehearse that a couple of times so that they're not going on and on, because it just takes somebody else's time
yeah.
and makes the program go over. And, you know, you can be more effective in many ways if you do 5 minutes rather than 10.
Yes.
So you boil it down into, okay, maybe it's a real exciting part of that chapter.
Yeah.
And it just gives the audience a real tidbit of what you're writing.
Yeah. So that's March 17th at the Hartwood Center.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And you said 9:30 a.m. is the start time.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have to sign up for that?
Nope. You don't have to sign up, and you can come anytime.
Yeah.
You just walk in, and we'll have you sign up when you walk in the door so that, you know, you're the next person to go, and we'll have you come in and, okay, 5 minutes is, you know, we'll do breaks or whatever. And again, there's coffee and there's a little bit of something to eat, and it's a free program. All of our programs from the library are free.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, come on down really and just walk in and meet some people. Really, the networking helps too, meeting other authors. And, you know, maybe a new attendee can become a member of the Idaho Writers League that meets a couple times a month and critiques each other's work.
Yeah.
And they just improve their craft that way.
Right. Yeah. I was going to mention that as well. I know they, I can't remember exactly the schedule, but I know they meet regularly. You can easily find out that information online or on the community calendars.
Mm-hmm.
The Idaho Writers League. And I have met a few of them here in this studio. Everybody's very nice. Nobody strikes me as the kind of nobody that I've met yet strikes me as the kind of dark, tormented author who would savage another person's work.
Not at all. Yeah, they're very nurturing.
Yeah.
You know, as far as that group goes, they're very nurturing and welcoming to mm-hmm. new members. And it's a very friendly atmosphere.
Yeah. That's March 17th. And then the next event that I can think of is into April. Am I skipping anything in there? Not really.
I don't think so.
Okay. Coming up in April, once again, it's time for the library gala.
The sequel.
Yes.
It was a novel night last year.
Yeah.
I'm not sure really what the theme is, but everybody's jumping in, and it is in partnership with the Rotary again.
Mm-hmm.
So we appreciate their support. And it will be in the same place, the Columbia Center, the atrium there. Mm-hmm. Beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
And Tango Cafe will provide the food, and people can give us a call for tickets, 263-6930.
Is it, and tickets are available already?
Right. Maybe not yet, but
yeah.
You know, we can certainly get them on a list or whatever. We can probably wait a little while to call.
Yeah.
But a little bit more toward mid-March or so, I'm sure we'll have, and they'll be around town. People will hear about them.
Yeah, I'm sure, and I'm sure you'll hear about them again on this radio station. Last year, you and I were down there providing some color commentary and meeting some famous literary characters who approached
and they
me.
Were colorful.
Uh-huh.
Had some great interviews. It was an excellent time.
That was fun, and that was that will be coming up again. Is that another Saturday, April 14th?
It is. It's Saturday evening.
Mm-hmm.
It'll start at 5:30 or something, a lot like last year.
Yeah,
so, more information to come.
Okay, so that's what's going on at the library. Before I ask you to put on your alter ego, did we cover the whole library thing? Did we do everything?
Yeah.
Okay. then I'll ask you to step outside and send Mike Meisner in, okay, if you don't mind.
Okay. Let me step into the phone booth.
Here okay.
We go. Okay.
Mike, you are one of the DJs here on 88.5 KRFY. Is that correct?
It is correct, and I love it. I've been doing it about 3.5 years. So I was, and I just stepped in. Okay, I'm a child of the 70s. That's when I graduated high school. Other things that I won't mention, mm-hmm. but I loved the music. And I think some of the music that came in, you know, even starting in 1970, just seemed to change. And there was a lot of innovation, and a lot of the musicians that we know and love now got started in the 70s. Tom Petty is one, you know. And the Cars, mm-hmm. and Motown was still going strong, at least in the early 70s. So there's a lot of good stuff there, and I love to play it. I like to try to play something a little bit different, something that hasn't been played or hasn't been played in a long time. Say a little bit about that. There's some mm-hmm. interesting trivia and history. You and Jim do that on this show sometimes, and you do a great job. And so I try to do on the 70s show. And I'll spill over into the 80s a lot of the time. So I'm here 2 hours, but having somebody do the 80s and have a fresh look at that collection would mm-hmm. be great.
I think I'm told that there is somebody interested, a new volunteer, which will mean that we have live DJs from 5 till 9 on Saturday nights. Four live DJs coming in and transitioning. Jerry does a great job with the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
You do a bang-up job
with
the 70s. And then, believe it or not, a young lady interrupting the boys' Saturday night.
Wow.
What might be coming in to take over the 80s. Could be.
Okay.
Could be.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's exciting. But you have done a great job with the 80s all the way through anyway.
Thanks. I mean, well, the 80s, that's where I started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started in the 80s show. And I kind of got into that collection a little bit. And I dug into a lot with Alternative College.
Mm-hmm.
I was a DJ back in 1983 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when a lot of the alternative, REM was alternative when it first came out with the first couple of albums, and nobody, well, who's REM, you know, is that Sleepy, what's that? And it started out with college, the college airplay. So did the Talking Heads. It wasn't mainstream. They weren't mainstream really at that time. We were playing, you know, Psycho Killer, you know, that was cool back then.
Yeah.
And so, there's a lot there still. And, but you got to dig a bit in the '80s versus the '70s.
Right. What's coming up this week? You got anything picked out yet?
You know, usually I do, what I call milestone shows. So I'll look at this day in music and I will have the show follow that if it's, you know, if it makes sense and if there, but there should be a musical theme to the show. You are asking me a question that I'll know better, the answer better, probably in 24 hours.
Yeah.
I kind of go a little bit on the fly. I kind of like it that way. Maybe I like the adrenaline of, okay, I'm somewhat prepared to do this and just kind of wing it. That's a little bit of a confession, but I like doing it that way. And I'll always take requests during my show. And I don't say it every week, but I've got room to play, you know, whatever folks want to hear.
Yeah. Well, and it's all commercial free. It's just music from the '70s with the occasional little, bit of trivia thrown in. And it's, you guys, all of you do a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah. But it is always nice to, turn that on a Saturday night. I have thought I never am able to come up with a request just off the top of my head. Every once in a while I'll hear either you or Jerry say, We're taking requests and here's the phone number. And I think, oh, what do I want to hear? But it's never as good as what you guys figure out anyway. Yeah. So
there's so much there, you just draw a blank.
Exactly.
It's like somebody saying, you know, whatever.
Right.
What's your question? Or you're just overwhelmed with it.
It is. There's events coming up this weekend. And let's see, is there anything important we should mention on that front? I'll let you know in just a second. But anyway, thanks for anything else you want to say about being a DJ here at 88.5 KRFY?
No, just listen to us. 50s at 5, 60s at 6, 70s at 7, 80s at 8, and you can travel through time starting. And we've got a great lineup, I think, on Saturdays anyway.
Yeah.
It's a great day to listen to KRFY. And, oh, we've got bluegrass and all kind of rockabilly, all kinds of things. We've even got a program that is show tunes.
That's right.
And just before Bob goes on, there's a show that I can't remember the name, but it's on at 4, and it showcases early rock and roll. Juke in the Back.
Yeah, that's great. I try to turn my I tend to turn my radio on. If I'm at home, I'll turn it on around 4 and just leave it on all night. Here's what's coming up in Sandpoint this weekend. The Winter Carnival continues. This is week number 2, another round of snowy good times, continuing through the 25th, which is just this Sunday. And there's the Frozen 5K Run. Frozen it will be in Dover on Saturday, February 24th. The rescheduled Let It Glow Torchlight Parade and Fireworks at Schweitzer Mountain Resort, also on February 24th. And the charming K9 Keg Pull is on Sunday, February 25th. There's lots more going on. SandpointWinterCarnival.com is the website where you can find out the full rundown of events. The 24 Hours for Hank benefit was last night, pardon me, but thought I'd mention it anyway because 24 Hours of Hank is a good cause, and that was at the Idaho Poor Authority. And I'm sure you can find out more about what 24 Hours for Hank is and the importance of what they do by going online. And you can go to idahopoorauthority.com to find out what was happening there last night. Hey, also, here's one. Trivia Takeover live from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Pondere Winery. Is that right? At 301 Cedar Street on tonight, the 22nd. The Darkest Hour is going on at... Darkest Hour is at the Panada, which is the Winston Churchill film featuring Gary Oldman in an Academy Award nominated role, which many are saying he's going to win. The Thursday, that's tonight at 7:30 p.m. tomorrow night, 5:30 p.m., and on Sunday at 3:30 p.m. There's live music at the winery, at the farmhouse out in Ponderay, at the wine bar on Cedar Street Bridge, at the beer hall in McDuff's, and at Eichardt's Pub, as well as at the 219. There's a lot going on, but let me say that it's time to play one last song before we go. This one's from the 80s, and it was at number one on this date in 1988.
How about that?
Would you have a guess?
Oh,
is
it U2?
It's not U2. Oh. It's George Michael.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Is it Faith?
It is not. It's from the Faith album. It's the other one. It's Father Figure.
Okay.
By George Michael on this date in 1988, 30 years ago. This was at number one. Thanks for listening to The Morning Show. Jim is back next week with me. And stay tuned for Bird Note in the Nautilus Eclectic Mix. All day long after that, right here on 88.5 KRFY.